It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
AMBERMAY, that's fly. AMBERMAY, that's why.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and I have a hero amongst us today. We're going to be talking to a veteran and a man who keeps us safe every night so that we don't have to worry about anything. And his name is Mike Johnson. He is the president of Cops Against Myeloma. What is myeloma? So I'm going to have him come on today and talk about that. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
With the rapid pace of technology advancements, purchasing computers or networking your business's workstations can become confusing and frustrating. Let LPGA Technology Control help provide answers to all your computer-related needs. Whether you have one computer or a 50 workstation network, we can help plot a course to make the best use of your investment. LPGA Technology Control provides consulting, installation, and upgrade products and services for systems of all sizes. Visit us on the web at www.lpga.net or give us a call at 623-873-8888. That's 623-873-8888.
Hi, this is Amber May, and I found some of the best burgers and gyros in town, and I have to tell you about it. You have to go visit Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria, right in the Target Shopping Plaza on the southwest corner. This is a family-owned and operated business, and they have awesome food. They even have the Amber May special. So if you're hungry, make sure you go check out Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria. Everything is made fresh, and they have a $2.99 burger and fries special. That's at Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue and Peoria.
Come and visit my parents' restaurant and make sure you check out the Amber May special while you are there. It's so good.
Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance Agency. We're your one-stop solution to quality insurance. We offer personalized coverage for your home, auto, life, and business needs. Let the office of Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance help you get back to where you belong. We offer life insurance and universal life plans to protect your family. We're here for your financial needs while offering IRA tax-sheltered annuities, too. Let us protect your insurance needs along with bringing you peace of mind. Let us insure your future. Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance. Call 623-925-9411. 623-925-9411.
You're listening to the Amber May Show.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. Thank you for joining me today. I have a really important topic that we're going to be discussing today, and it's called multiple myeloma. What is it? Well, it's a type of cancer, and it affects a very few amount of people, so there's not a lot of discussion about it. And the thing is, we need to talk about it because it does affect fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, daughters, sons. It affects everybody on some level at some time. So we need to talk about this and bring some awareness and help get research going to stop this kind of cancer. Welcome, Mike Johnson, to the show.
Thank you, Amber.
Would you explain what multiple myeloma is?
Myeloma is a blood cancer that attaches itself to the bone protein that dissolves the bone in your body. And what it does is speeds the process up. And it starts to deteriorate the bone, and actually leads and goes into can get into your vital organs and kill you. There's no cure for it right now.
Wow. So what happens to people who contract this? What kind of treatment is there for them?
They have radiation, chemotherapy. They also have a stem cell treatment that you can go through.
Wow. So when you talk about stem cells, I know that's been on the media quite a bit, especially during the Bush administration. Are you talking about infants? What are you talking about when you talk about stem cells?
I actually went through the stem cell transplant in January, and what they do is they harvest your own stem cells, and they harvest as many as they can over a certain period of time. I was lucky. They were able to harvest enough to do 4 stem cell transplants for me. After they do that, they admit you into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The first day you're in the hospital, they give you a really high dose of chemotherapy. They wait a day after that. And after that, the next day, they start giving you your stem cells back.
Wow. So what's the results with the stem cells? Any idea?
Well, after 100 days after this transplant, they give you a blood test. They have you go through other tests. For me, right now, I have no sign of the cancer in my body right now.
Oh, hallelujah. That's awesome. So you're in remission right now?
Yes.
Oh, that's so great. Mike, we're talking about multiple myeloma, and one of the questions I want to ask you is, how does that affect your physical body? What do you go through when you're a cancer patient?
The medication makes you tired, makes you react differently than you normally would. I can remember at one point, this is probably a little personal, but having an argument with my wife and getting very angry and not even realizing it until afterwards from the medication. And the medication does actually, you know, it takes a pretty big toll on your body.
So you just feel really tired. Any other symptoms or anything?
Yeah, the steroids that I was taking actually gave me diabetes.
Mm.
So I had to inject insulin 3-4 times a day for a couple of months.
Do you still have diabetes?
I don't.
Oh, good. So that was just a temporary thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
At one point, my blood sugar was up to almost 600.
Oh, my gosh. How much time did you spend in hospitals?
Oh, wow. When I went to the stem cell transplant, I was in the hospital for 17 days. I've been in and out of the hospital for blood tests, bone marrow tests, x-rays, CT scans, so quite a bit.
What did it do to your immune system
in terms of the treatment
and stuff?
Well, the cancer itself starts to deteriorate the immune system. And I actually developed a thing that's going around now called MRSA. And I believe that came from the deterioration of my immune system from the cancer. When I went through the stem cell transplant, they gave me the chemotherapy treatment.
Okay.
When they gave me the chemotherapy treatment, that basically depleted my immune system. It got rid of all the platelets in my blood. It basically breaks everything down in your blood system and kills everything. And then when they give you the stem cells back, the stem cells actually go back to where they came from. They know right where they came from, and they go right back to that spot, and they start healing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty amazing.
It's kind of scary because you have no immune system for a while, so you're susceptible to almost anything, which causes you to be confined either, I assume, in a hospital room, or did they even let you out to go home during this time?
No, they keep you in there. It depends on what hospital you go to. Some of the hospitals will, after they give you the chemo treatment and they give you your stem cells back, they'll release you. They know you're going to get sick. Once you get sick, then you go back into the hospital and you stay there. The Mayo Clinic does it a little bit different. They just keep you in there the entire time.
Mm.
They were going to actually use me as proof to say, look, that the stem cell treatment doesn't really cause harmful effects to people. I did get a fever while I was in there, and I got a bloody nose that, which actually made me pretty nervous because I had no platelets, so the blood wouldn't clot. So they had to put a depressor in my nose to stop the bleeding. That was in there for a week. That actually made me pretty nervous because, you know, they said you could actually bleed to death because you can't stop the bleeding.
Wow. So that would make me nervous too. I mean, to think I can't stop bleeding because we're used to it. Anyone's used to, if you're a normal, healthy person, you bleed, you pinch your nose, and it's done. But imagine it flowing and it won't stop. I mean, that would make me really nervous. So, I mean, multiple myeloma is pretty serious because it affects so much, and you're stuck in the hospital for such a long time, and I'm sure it affects your psyche at some point where maybe you're bored to death, or you know that people are depending on you, but you can't do anything about it. You want to speak a little bit on that?
Yeah, you know, you get very lonely in the hospital. 17 days is a long time to spend in a hospital. My kids came to see me, I think, twice. I didn't really want them coming a whole lot because they didn't want people up there, actually kids under the age of, I think, 12, in case they were sick, because people's immune systems, you know, like you said, are very susceptible to getting sick. My wife came and saw me several times. I basically looked at it like I was an inmate. And I just didn't want anybody to come see me. Just let me deal with it by myself for 17 days or however long I was going to be in there. And, it gets lonely. I took my Bible in there. And after a while, I tried not to watch TV. I read the Bible a lot of times. But after a while, the medication I was on, it wouldn't even let me sleep. Every time I'd close my eyes, automatically I'd have this, like, vision in my head. And it would just, it was really freaky.
Like a spiritual vision, or just thoughts?
No, more like stories, you know, or like a movie going on in my head, and I could just follow the whole thing, and you know, it was from the medication that I was on, and then it got really, you know, I couldn't read, I couldn't watch TV, you know, I was just sitting on the bed, I'd get up, I'd walk around the room a little bit, and so 17 days of that is
wow,
pretty rough.
So you're physically tired. Mentally, you can't shut off the movie that's going on in your head. So that even contributes more to being physically tired. I mean, so someone's going through a lot when they're in the hospital with multiple myeloma, going through the treatments. Now, tell me about your personal relationships. Did that affect them at all?
Yeah, it did. You know, if you've ever had anybody, you know, from the beginning when I got diagnosed with myeloma, my doctor, when we first went and saw him, he tells my wife, and he says, well, you know, people normally when they come in here, they're older, the myeloma's spread further, you know, and I usually give them, you know, 2 or 3 years left of life. He says, but what I have, he gave me 6 to 8 years. 6 to 8 years is a long time, but when somebody puts a date on how long you're going to be alive, it affects you pretty good. You know, it's stressful. I didn't tell my kids. My younger kids still don't really understand what's really going on. Mm-hmm. My daughter does. She didn't really show a lot of emotion. She knows, I'm sure, you know, she thinks about it quite a bit, but we kind of joke about it. And that kind of helps us get by with it.
You know, when someone does, you brought up a great point. None of us know, our listening audience doesn't know, none of us know the time or the day we're going to be taken off the earth. We don't know. We just assume that tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to go about the day like we did today. But we don't have that guarantee. So the fact that the doctor said, you know, I'm sorry, Mike, I wanted to let you know we got some bad news from your blood work. From the looks of it, it looks like you're only going to have about 10 years left. What's going through your mind, and how did that affect from that point forward?
Wow, that's, you know, when they first told me that, I just remember looking at my wife, and she turned her head the same time I did and looked at me, and it was just this blank look, like, did he really say that? You know, and it, when I first got diagnosed with the plasmacytoma in my nose in 2000, I was at the county hospital, and they went into my nose and they removed the tumor. And they thought it was a polyp in my nose. He says, but we're going to send it in for biopsy just to make sure. So when he calls me back in, he's like, well, you have cancer. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it didn't even hit me till I got home. And I told my wife, you know, was like, what? So I had to call the guy. Did you tell me I had cancer? And he's like, yeah, you have cancer. We're going to schedule you with an oncologist. And that's when, it, you know, it hit me. I'm like, is this for real? And then when he tells me, you know, you've got, I'm stamping a date on your life, you know, that's about as much as you're going to get. You know, I don't know what you would say to that, you know, even though they said it to me, it's just, I just remember having, you know, everything in my head at once and nothing there, you know, at the same time. I just didn't know how to react to it.
Well, I know that I lifted you up in prayer. I know Philip lifted you up, my husband, in prayer, and we were believing for a miracle to come out of it, and I think we're really blessed at this point to know that you're in remission, and we got to keep lifting you up in prayer, and I think that's very important. And I learned one thing by another pastor I talked to, that sometimes healing doesn't always come in the form that we would think it is. Sometimes a healing doesn't come by a person physically on earth being healed, but rather God takes them up, and when they take them up to heaven, they're healed, because in heaven there's no sickness, and they're in a transformed body, just like when Christ came back and he showed his disciples, hey, I told you I was coming back, and look at this body. You know, it was a new body that he got. And so I'm believing in God, and I was thankful that God chose to heal you here on earth, because we all care about you so much, and your children love you, and your wife loves you, and all your friends and family care about you too. So we were really blessed by that. And I want to let my listening audience know that sometimes healing doesn't come in the way that we would think it would, because God is all powerful. He's in control. He knows the time and the hour that all of us have on earth. He gave us a chance to come down on earth for a certain time to do his will. I mean, he gave us all a purpose. And if anyone of my listening audience right now is maybe going through something similar where they are praying for healing, I want you to know God will listen, and he's going to answer in his way. Hopefully he answers it where we can share some more time on earth with the people we care about. But if not, and they're a believer, God may take them up and be with him, and they're going to be more happy and more in peace and without sickness. So I want to encourage people that if that is the case, if that's the way God is going to handle this type of healing in your situation, just know that God is in control, and he's not doing it because he hates you or he doesn't love you. It's because he loves that person so much, and he's like, you know what? It's time for you to come home and be with me. So out of this, okay, so I told the audience before that you were a veteran. You fought in the Gulf War, correct?
Yeah, Desert Storm.
And then you are a detective here in the county of Maricopa. So I want to thank you for putting your life on the line for all of us every day. And if there was any way any of us could repay you, visiting your website would be one where we could maybe make a donation to help further research on this cancer, correct?
Yeah, we have a foundation called Cops Against Myeloma Foundation. And we have a website. It's copsagainstmyeloma.com. Right now, it's kind of under construction. We're changing a little bit. We can't accept any donations at this time. We do support the Myeloma Foundation to help them to try to find a cure. We also are doing a golf tournament later next year to try to raise money to help police officers and help find a cure for it.
So you brought some friends along with you. Why don't you introduce your friends to us?
Well, first I want to thank you for your prayers, yours and Phil's. And I am just thankful that I am here so that I can keep trying to do the will of God. The person sitting next to me is Tom Richardson. He is a good friend of mine. I've known him for quite a while. And he is one of my chaplains for my foundation and my public relations person. Next to him is a no stranger to you, is your husband, Phil. And he is graciously enough to help me with my foundation and do whatever it is he can and be one of my chaplains.
Wonderful. So let's start with Tom. Tom, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you wanted, what's your envision for the foundation, what you would like to do with it?
Well, you know, as Mike said, we've known each other for a few years. It's been about 10 years. And as I've gotten to know him over the years, I think more so our friendship solidified about a year ago when I moved out here as he was going through this. And it's been a great opportunity for me not only to, I think as you see somebody else struggle and, you know, their spirituality grows and they become closer to God, it also affects the people that they know. And that's helped me too. And, you know, I think it's been not in a strange way, but in a cool way, a very cool blessing for me as well to be able to not only serve on his, you know, with his foundation, but to, you know, raise the awareness, I mean, of the types of cancers that are out there. I mean, you look at it from a clinical standpoint, how many different, you know, this is one of the most rare type of cancers. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, how can we raise awareness? As Mike started this foundation, I think it's a great opportunity to really increase people's knowledge and their education level about what it is that affects people so much. And not only, like, you know, I said, is to bring people closer to God too. They're both wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are wonderful ambitions, and to be able to be a part of that is just a wonderful opportunity, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it.
Wonderful. And Philip, introduce yourself to our listening audience and let us know what ideas you have for the foundation.
Well, my name is Philip. I've been working with Mike for quite some time, and I noticed, I saw Mike go through what he went through, and I would like to be able to use him as an example in the foundation that he made to help other people, to assist other people. We all know that what he went through is a great challenge, not only for himself, but also for the people around his family, like was said before. And we all heard the phrase, laughter is the best medicine. Well, true, but faith is also a very deep medicine too. And we think that's one of the most important things that you can come out of this with, is your faith can grow and you can become a better person by accepting things like God's will. We don't know what God's will is, but as Jesus taught us to pray, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, thy will be done. He asked for God's will. Okay, that we all understand that, hey, this is God's will is what we need to look for, what we need to understand. And I know Mike wants us to support that. And he wants us to be there for people so that we can help them, whatever God's will is, to accept that, to encourage them, and to help them move along in the process, whatever way that ends up going.
You know, Mike was talking about Bibles earlier, and I would like to petition my listening audience. He is in need of Bibles to hand out. They don't have to be big. They could be the small ones, but any type of Bible. If you have an extra one laying around the house, bring it down to the station. I'm going to have a collection going. Or if you know of how Mike can get Bibles, hopefully as little as possible, because the foundation is new and funds aren't readily available as we would like at this point, but that is coming with the faith of God. I believe that. And you can contact Mike by going to the website. Is that correct?
You can go to the website. It's www.copsagainstmyeloma.com, and myeloma spelled M-Y-E-L-O-M-A. Or you can send the Bibles to our address at P.O. Box 463, Higley, Arizona, 85236, and just put on their Cops Against Myeloma Foundation. Or, like Amber said, you can have them sent here to the station. That'd be great.
Is there any other things at this point that you see a need of that you need, and maybe we could petition the listening audience for?
You know, what I would like to do is something was brought to my attention earlier this year that I didn't know about. In Arizona, public safety officers have a cancer insurance policy that is provided by all of the agencies. It's law. They have to provide it. It's free for us. Any public servant or police officer, fireman that gets cancer has this policy. The policy pays you a one-time fee on your first claim of right now it's $6,000. They send you a $6,000 check because you have cancer. I know that's not going to save everybody, and that's not going to make, you know, but $6,000 for nothing, it helps quite a bit.
Yes.
They pay you while you're in the hospital. Even if your insurance pays the hospital payment, they give you up to $200 a day for however long you're in there. They pay for people to come and visit you. They pay up to $500 in travel and $100 a day for hotel while you're in the hospital to see your family. You don't have to pay any of that back. If there's somebody that wants to know more about that, they can go to our website, click on the insurance or cancer insurance link, and there's steps there to how to get to the website where they can fill out forms for that.
Wow, Mike, that is a great reference for anyone out there, because I think the word cancer can be pretty scary, and we all know if you have any serious medical conditions, it quickly eats at any reserves that you have in your bank account. Let's go back to Thomas. Now, Mike had earlier mentioned about this golf tournament. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that or anything? Or do you have anything in the works that you would like to start in terms of PR or events for the foundation?
You bet. As we're starting to plan this, obviously it's set for next April, but we really are in the process right now as we speak of trying to get some stars, if you will, to come out and support. And as we work towards that, I think it'll give us an opportunity not only to get a greater draw of people, because obviously that's our goal, is to maximize the attendance, participation, really get people on, like you said, we talked about before, is raise the awareness. I mean, there's so many different, you know, facets. I mean, bring people closer to God. I mean, raise funds for this foundation. Increase people's faith. I mean, it's just such a domino effect. And that's, you know, as I was talking before, that's what our real goal is. And like I said, it's just an honor to be a part of it so that we can bring this closer. I mean, and you know, as we were talking before, it's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is raising the awareness for a lot of people that haven't had that spiritual experience before. And as we bring this golf tournament, you know, forth, that I think it's going to be just a great opportunity to bring people closer together, get people out there having a good time golfing. I mean, most of us aren't that good, or else we'd be in a different career, but that makes it fun.
Yeah.
That brings people closer together. It you know, brings spirits closer together, and I think that's the main goal of this, is to raise funds, bring people closer together, raise the awareness, and make this a great opportunity to bring people closer together, families, friends, and things like that. So that's pretty much it at this point. I mean, we're just working towards that goal of getting some good people out there to help sponsor it.
I know that we'll definitely be needing volunteers. So if anyone in the listening audience right now would like to volunteer, you can do so and let Mike know by visiting his website, and you can email him there because there is a link for that. And your help would be greatly appreciated because this is a big event and we're doing big things with this event. So your generosity of donating your time will be well received by Mike and his staff. Any final closing words with any of you gentlemen?
Well, people like to contact the website. We know that support is always free. Words and prayers are free, and there will be abundance of it from the foundation. So if people have any worries or supports or needs for support, go ahead and contact the foundation, and we'll make sure that you get prayed for, and we'll get, if you want someone to talk to you, I mean, I'm sure we can handle stuff like that. So if there's any needs, like I said, words and prayers are free.
That's true. So I want to thank you gentlemen for being on the program. Mike, any final words for you?
I just want to identify one other person on my staff. His name is Rod Franklin, and he is a Capitol PD officer. Really good guy. He's been a big part of all this. He's just not able to be here today, so I just want to give him his props. So
wonderful. Well, how exciting. And I'm thankful that I can be a part of this in an indirect kind of way. And I'm looking forward to helping out with the golf tournament coming up next year. And I'm going to be looking forward to seeing any Bibles come down to the studio, guys. 44th Street and Thomas, Suite 100. Come down and donate your Bibles.
Quick quiz, Amber. How many holes on a golf course?
18. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.